the weekend.
7 after the hour now. The Good Day Weekend program continues. My end of it comes to you from the studios of WTTF in Tiffin, Ohio, where I reside. I feel like a resident here as much as I spend my time doing my things that involve my beloved alma mater, Heidelberg University, the radio station on the campus, actually, at the radio station Alumni Weekend. Hear a lot of activity. That's cool. One of the things that certainly will draw people into the radio station is the discussion this hour about food and your well-being, your choices, all that good stuff. Phil Lempert is here. He's the supermarket guru, has been studying, working in the area of food and its sources for his adult life. How'd you get interested? I know you have farmers in your family, but I've forgotten how it is that you brought yourself around or how you found this niche that you serve so well.
Well, it was just an evolution. You know, my grandfather's a dairy farmer, my father's a food manufacturer, and I just chose this side of it, being able to empower and educate real people to what goes on behind the shelves. And today I'm broadcasting from high atop a building in New York.
Uh-huh.
So you're going to hear sirens, you're going to hear,
perfect,
you know, all the New York street noise as well.
Right. New York, New York. It's a wonderful
New York,
town.
New York. Yeah.
The story this week on potato chips,
mm-hmm,
and how they pile on the pounds. There is a lot of information, obviously, all the time about the best foods for you and the worst foods and how you lose weight and how you gain weight. I happen to be a big fan of potato chips,
mm-hmm,
knowing full well that most of them are not particularly good for you. If I have a sandwich, I want to have chips. I don't want to have those Sun chips. I don't want to have Doritos. I don't want to have anything but the real McCoy. And they aren't that good for you when you get right down to it. Or are there some that really taste great? Because you always, I love the way you even say the word taste. You say people are going to eat things that taste good and are not expensive. So I guess that the potato chips fit right in there.
Well, yes and no. Keep in mind, I'm not convinced about this Harvard study.
Really?
That you know what they're doing is they're saying that it's not just candy and desserts, but also potato chips. You know, potato chips are fine if you're going to eat, you know, a gigantic bag of potato chips. Sure, if you're going to eat a gigantic bag of anything, it's going to be blamed for weight. You know, anything in moderation is fine. And I don't like when anybody, including Harvard researchers, point to one single food and point a finger at it and just say that, you know, this is why America's fat. That's not why America's fat. America's fat because they eat too many potato chips that are pretty tasteless, so they have to eat the whole bag,
mm-hmm,
of them.
Mm.
You know, and in fact, I go to a restaurant, and I'm not a big potato chip consumer. Let me start off with that. But I go to a restaurant that makes their own fresh potato chips, and you can have those instead of fries or a baked potato or coleslaw or whatever else. And I can have six of them, and they're terrific, and they put a smile on my face. There's a party in my mouth. But again, you know, having this gigantic bag of them doesn't do anything for me.
I love potato chips. If they are the solid kind, there are some really good, I said it was in Tiffin, we have Ballreich's potato chips that are made here in Tiffin, and they are extraordinarily good. They're a different sort of a taste. They make lots of different varieties of them, but they are very, very good. They're pleasing. It's kind of neat to have a local company that makes them, been around for as long as family's been around for a long, long time. And there are regional chips, and then there are national chips, and you must have a lot of them come across because people are always trying to make something new out of something old. So how often do you get in your office a new kind of chip that you're asked to evaluate?
At least once a week.
Really?
Wow. No question. Potato chips are probably one of the most innovative categories. In fact, I want to say maybe about 2 months ago, I had one that was fabulous. It's a wasabi potato chip, the Hawaiian cut, so it's a little thicker, and absolutely terrific. But I grew up, you know, in the East Coast, in New Jersey, where we had Wise potato chips.
Right, I remember.
And what I love about potato chips is when they're not all the identical size and the identical color, because that to me is not a potato chip. That's a factory made.
That's
potato
a Pringle.
Chip. Exactly. You know?
Yeah.
So for me, potato chips, some should be burnt, some should be lighter, some should be greasier, bigger, smaller, saltier, and the like. But it, probably about 6-7 years ago on the Today Show, we did a segment where it was on different potato chips, and we got them from all over the country, and some fabulous ones.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I think a lot of the regional ones are, in fact, even better. Lay's potato chips is clearly the number one. By far, and they own and dominate the marketplace. But if you look around, you know, your local supermarket, you're going to see a brand probably that you've never heard of. Try them. You're going to like them.
All right, so here's the question. Phone number is 800-510-8255. Just for fun, during the course of the next few minutes, as you have a moment, those of you who are, as I am and Phil is, a devotee of good potato chips, what is the best regional or maybe national potato chip? Which one do you like the best and why? 800-510-8255. Who makes the best in whatever region? I just told you about Ball Reich's here in Northwest Ohio. They have supplies all over. They supply a lot of people around here and people around the world. When they move around, they always want to have a box of Ball Reich potato chips shipped to them. So you're a different part of the country. What do you like? What's best? Because, again, there are, as Phil's pointed out, any number of regional brands of potato chips. And let's face it, regardless, as Phil said, of what Harvard says, who cares what's in that, the New England Journal of Medicine, what is more important is what you like and what complements a good ham sandwich, shall we say, or a tuna fish sandwich, or a chicken sandwich, or a turkey sandwich. Or
well, taking the tuna fish and crunching up the potato chips and mixing it in.
Yeah. So you don't even have to have a separate out of the bag. I eat at Subway. I find if I'm in a hurry, oftentimes middle of the day, Charlotte and I stop at the Subway and have a veggie patty, and I'll always get a bag of potato chips to go with it.
I think that's because they give them to you free.
Oh, do they?
The deal.
Yeah, no, I think I have to pay for them. Although I did stop in a little place.
One in Santa Monica, I think maybe it's because it just opened.
Maybe.
You get a, with a sandwich, you get a free bag of chips.
Yeah, right down from where Whitey Bulger was living?
No. Right past Chaya.
Oh, okay. All right. That's right. That's a better neighborhood. Into it. Right on the,
See, the anybody Venice. Can hide in Santa Monica.
Apparently, yeah. My God, the guy's been there for 15 years. 800-510-8255. Which is the best regional potato chip? Which one? You want to vote for your favorite. Why is it your favorite? Is it taste? Is it what it, you know, just how the texture works? There are any number of different ways. And as Phil says, there are hundreds of them. It's just a question of finding the one that you think is cool or what you enjoy the most. It's a taste thing. 800-510-8255. Thinking of that and thinking of eggs and how you can do so many different things with eggs, this program brought to you in part by the Egg Board, the incredible edible egg, 15 cents for an egg, boiling them the simplest way, at least I find simplest way. I eat them two or three different ways, boil them and have them a little salt. That's it. Cook them well. You can have them as scrambled eggs, just make regular eggs. I'm not very creative, but you don't have to be very creative in order to get the benefits of them. Right, Phil?
Absolutely. And, in fact, I'm just trying to think. We were at a restaurant recently. Ah, okay. The Parker Hotel in Palm Springs, California.
Okay. Yep.
Which is one of the hip that Robert Downey Jr. got married there. A lot of celebrities go there and so on. We were there for dinner.
Yeah.
And actually what they're serving now is they serve a pasta. And I forgot what the sauce in the pasta is. It's got a beef ragu on it. And what they do is they put a poached egg on top of the pasta. And I had never seen that before, and it's absolutely delicious.
Right.
So you can use eggs in all kinds of way. Okay. And, you know, let's start with breakfast, because a breakfast that contains eggs helps you to stay full longer and keeps you energized throughout the day. Eggs are a good source of all-natural, high-quality protein, and one egg has lots of essential vitamins and minerals in varying amounts for just 70 calories and an average of just 15 cents each. As Doug said, eggs are one of the most affordable sources of high-quality protein, and they deliver a big nutrient bang for your buck. So from America to Asia, eggs are celebrated around the world for their versatility, affordability, and nutrient density. So take a trip around the world without ever leaving your kitchen. Just visit the recipe section of IncredibleEgg.org, home of the incredible edible egg. And if you're in Palm Springs, go to the Parker Hotel, order their pasta bolognese, and you'll get a poached egg on top.
Here's another question from the Geico Savings Mailbag.
Susan from Miami asks, do you believe virtue is its own reward?
Ah, yes, indeed I do. But I also think cash is a pretty nice reward. And cash is exactly what you could save when you switch to Geico.
Right.
Yeah, and Geico also offers rewards in the form of good driver discounts, multi-car discounts, and defensive driver discounts.
So maybe discounts are their own rewards.
Hard to argue with that.
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com to see how much you could save. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Andrew Gilzant presents The Household and Requiem. If you find yourself shrieking in disgust because ants are invading the harmony of your clean kitchen and home, you need Amdro Kills Ants bait stations and sakes inside and outside your house. Amdro Kills Ants is a bait ants love, so they eat it and die. And that's a tune that'll keep your house humming. Find Amdro Kills Ants entire line of products at a Walmart near you.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold for your IRA? That's right. Gold has been available to be placed in IRAs since 1986. Yet still, the financial industry refuses to recognize the value of real hard assets for your retirement. The truth be told, gold and silver has outperformed paper investments like stocks, bonds, and CDs, yet no word about IRAs. Perhaps the financial institutions want to maintain control of your assets by keeping you in paper. If you'd like to take a look at gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low return on your paper investments. Call 800-686-2237. Make sure that you secure your future. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Guys, remember when you were 18 with boundless energy and the stamina to do anything, anytime? Wish you could have the testosterone of your teenage years with the experience and skill you have today? Now you can with Progene Daily Complex. Progene is an all-natural herbal supplement that helps men naturally produce more testosterone. Right now, you too can try a free month's Progene supply absolutely free. 800-690-9738. Supplies are limited. 800-690-9738. 800-690-9738. Shipping and processing fees apply.
The thing about hemorrhoids is, they don't just bother you at home. On a plane, the pain can be nonstop to Seattle. On a train, you can have a little burning back there in your own caboose. But now, just carry new Preparation H Totables. Discreet little tubes of pain relief cream, burning relief gel, or irritation relief wipes. For the big relief you count on from Preparation H, the brand doctors recommend most by name among leading brands. New Preparation H Totables. Be anywhere Preparation H. Use as directed.
The best potato chips, Lauren in Ocala, Florida. What do you think, Lauren, is the best potato chip?
I think it's Kettle Brand Crinkle Chips, and they're called Crinkle Cuts, and I specifically like the cheddar and sour cream and the salt and fresh ground pepper.
What's the brand again? Kettle.
Kettle.
Oh, Kettle, okay.
Kettle
is a national brand.
Kettle is a national brand.
And Kettle's done great.
Yeah,
but that's not, you know, a local, and also, Lord, not to take away your enthusiasm for it, I'm not a sour cream, cheddar, whatever potato chip. I'm a plain potato chip
they
guy.
They violate
the goodness of a regular straightforward potato chip. Lauren, thank you.
Will I have garlic breath after I take Ali-C?
We get that question all the time about the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. And the answer is, Ali-C contains stabilized allicin, nature's antimicrobial agent, and the active ingredient in crushed garlic, but will not give you garlic breath. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies, using low doses of allicin greatly reduces the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Our powerful Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin. Just one tablet of Ali-C is equivalent to 40 garlic cloves.
dose. It's effective against asthma, MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections, and helps lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. Plus, it's a natural mosquito repellent. Boost resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 877-888-7126 or garlichealthproducts.com. Fight back with Ali-C.
You know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health, and most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of most alkaline minerals available. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins and acid, helping you to regain your energy and health. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body to rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen, and raises the pH of your body to optimal levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
I'm just a lucky guy, and here I'm about to tell you why. It's strictly on account of my sweet potato pie.
We're not talking about potato pies, although we might. It's been a long time since I had a potato pie. How about you, Phil?
No, but I think a lot of people are eating more potatoes now than ever before. With the rising cost of food,
yeah.
People are just changing.
Yeah,
what they eat because they can't afford it.
Well, but potatoes are good for you. You don't junk them all up with things, especially the skin.
Oh, well, who does that?
Everybody.
I mean, you go into a restaurant, you see people now getting these potatoes that are the size of a half a cow.
Right,
and
yeah.
They put, you know, tons of... here's what I don't understand, Doug, and you might know people that do this or you might do it yourself. When I have a baked potato, I like chives and butter.
Yeah.
I see people put cheese, sour cream, and butter on the same potato. That's nauseating.
Uh-huh.
That's horrible.
Sounds spoken like a true New Yorker. We're asking you to suggest as the study which sort of opened up the door to an overview of potato chips and whether or not they're piling on the pounds. We're sort of ignoring that, but we are interested in what you think the best potato chips are. Kettle chips, we just got to vote for Cape Cod chips. I've been
Cape
talking
Cod
about
is good. Yeah.
Ball
right. Also, those are national
chips.
Brands.
Yeah. What is the best national? Cape Cod might be the best national brand, although people think it's regional because of the reference to Cape Cod. What are, in your opinion and Laura's opinion, your wife, what do you enjoy more than any other brand as far as potato chips are concerned?
I have to be honest. I can't remember the last bag of potato chips that I purchased.
Really?
Yeah. No.
Huh. That's very discouraging, especially because you guys got such great taste. All right, Phil Lempert, the supermarket guru, is here. Joining us now is Vicky Ratteau, who is from Oxfam America. They've done a survey about the prices are of the food around the world, not just here in America. It's something that is a favorite topic of ours, Vicky. So, Phil, how do we compare what the folks at Oxfam have found versus, let's say, your own research? We talk about every week how food prices are going up, up, up.
Well, there's no question that with all the changes that are going on in the climate, everything that's going on, that we, every time we go into the supermarket, are seeing higher prices on beef and pork and chicken and coffee and just about everything. So the reason that we wanted Vicky to join us is to really give us a global outlook of what's going on, not only with a price standpoint, but also whether or not it's affecting the way people are eating. So, Vicky, welcome to Good Day Weekend.
Thank you for having me.
So give us the 101. Are we in trouble here when it comes to our food and our food supply?
Well, what we did find in the poll is that food prices are definitely determining what people eat, and many people are making different choices than they were from just a couple years ago because of food prices. And what interesting thing we found about the poll is that it was much more than just supply and demand, consumer demand and supply that was driving prices.
So what was the factor? If it's not about, you know, just supply and demand, what's going on here?
So you mentioned one thing, and that was changing weather patterns or climate change. But we also have some bad policies that are contributing to rising food prices. For example, we're burning a lot of corn as fuel and supporting that with subsidies and mandates. And that burning of what's essentially food is driving up on the price of corn, the price of cereals. And we're also seeing people who are opting to eat much less. And for the U.S., interesting thing that we saw in the survey or in the poll that was done is that 8% of Americans who were surveyed said that they sometimes rarely or never have enough to eat on a daily basis. And we see that number go up in other countries.
We've talked about that issue before. Let me get to the first part, and I'd like both you and Doug to weigh in on this. We talk a lot about, you know, corn for fuel, corn being turned into ethanol. What I don't understand, and maybe I'm just naive or dumb about this, I think it's now maybe 10 to 15% of fuel is being used from corn. If that's such a miracle to help us balance oil from that region of the world, why are prices still $3.50, $4 per gallon of gas?
You want me to take that first?
The ethanol thing just doesn't seem to be working.
Well,
right?
Am I missing something? Yeah, you are missing something. They're approaching it the wrong way. Don't need corn. And that's the thing that bothers here. Vicki probably in her research has seen that there are other ways of getting the mash that's needed to create ethanol. Ethanol in and of itself, in my field, and by the way, Vicki, I'm a dairy farmer in addition to being a broadcaster, so I want the corn to feed my cows.
Right.
I don't want it being used to fuel vehicles. Ethanol is great for the environment. Ethanol in its purest and best form. It is true that it takes almost as much fuel to make the ethanol to use as fuel, and that's what makes it so ridiculous. The price of corn this year is going to push $8 a bushel, mostly because of the weather in the Midwest, upper Midwest, lower Midwest. I'm in the Midwest right now in Ohio, and I'm shocked at this time of year to see how few the old business about knee-high by the 4th of July, and some of the corn isn't even in the ground yet. And that's going to affect the price as well as the use for ethanol. And the silly thing is here, there are all kinds of ways creatively to make a mash. You can collect leaves and you can collect grass. And there are other things that are much cheaper to grow, actually. Switchgrass, that sort of thing, it can be used. All you need to do is come up with a mash. It doesn't have to be corn mash. That's one thing. We'll talk about the government involvement in this in a moment, too, as we continue here. It's half past the hour.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Has the whole world gone mad?
What's going on?
How can they do that?
Can Christians have demons?
Why are politicians so detached?
Need answers to these questions? This is Scott Enser for HardcoreChristianity.com, the nastiest Christian radio show and website in the country. When it comes to the biblical truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God, about what's really going on in America and the rest of the world. Come join us each day as Michael W. Smith of the House of Healing in Phoenix reveals what the churches in America failed to tell you about the true spirit realm concerning demonic activity, mental illness, and even the basis of hardcore evil that is sweeping mankind. Visit HardcoreChristianity.com. Remember, you cannot negotiate with evil. You have to eradicate it. It's not too late. Live in or visiting the Phoenix area? Come join us twice a week for our healing and deliverance services or attend our free monthly seminars. Check website for service hours and schedules.
HardcoreChristianity.com.
Love gardening but don't love seeing your hard work destroyed by wildlife? Then use the number one most effective deer and rabbit repellent you can buy, PlantSkid. PlantSkid repellent protects gardens, trees, and landscaping by emitting an odor that browsing animals associate with predators. So animals avoid plants before they nibble, not after. PlantSkid is made in the U.S. from non-toxic, 100% organic, environment, and pet-friendly ingredients. Other repellents wash off in the rain. Not PlantSkid. It's guaranteed to outlast all other repellents. Plant Skid was the first animal repellent to be OMRI listed organic and now comes in liquid spray, powder concentrate, or easy-to-use granular. Just sprinkle around your garden. For proven protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents, use Plant Skid. Member tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Find a dealer near you at PlantSkid.com. That's PlantSkyd.com. Ask about our new vole repellent when you call 800-252-6051. That's 800-252-6051. Plant Skid. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed or your money back.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver. That's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
Buzz on the weekend, in part, the buzz on the weekend caused by information that comes out of this, the conversations we've had on this program with a lot of people who are close to the food industry. After all, we're all pretty close to food ourselves. A number one example of that is Phil Leppert, the supermarket guru, who'll be on the ABC morning. It's the good, what is the morning program?
Monday it'll be ABC News Now at about 9:30 in the morning Eastern Time, and then at 6:10 Monday evening or Monday late afternoon on Fox Business News.
And what usually do they come to you for? What are they looking for?
Not comedy.
No. Right.
Now, on ABC News Now, we're going to be talking about summer foods and how to save money on foods for barbecues and how to marinate and things like that. And then on Fox Business News, it'll be exactly what we're talking about now, the rising food prices, what's going on globally, and, you know, what impact it's going to be on not only consumers but on businesses.
We're talking to Vicky Ratteau, who is from Oxfam America, and the question has come up about ethanol and what it takes to make it and why we're using corn and how that affects the food prices. We have transportation. All these things are intertwined. One of the things that I find interesting, and I'm not argumentative, but I'm going to probably disagree with
you
a little bit.
Yes, you are. Your argument.
Well, okay. A little. From time to time, I've been known to be a little argumentative. Vicky, you think one of the ways of fixing the problem is to get the president involved and leaders of Congress, et cetera, working with the private sector. The track record of the Obama administration and the private sector, as with the Bush administration and the private sector, has been anything but friendly toward the person who wants to have choice and healthy food. They side with the big, big, big growers. The recent FDA bill, the so-called food safety bill, was extraordinarily anti the family farmer and the food producer that's not a problem and actually grows the best food. It favors the huge food combines that are always responsible for the food problems. So I wonder what you think. You say, let's get to President Obama. What do you think political leaders are going to do about this?
Well, there are a number of things that we're calling on the president and Congress to do as part of the Oxfam campaign. One is finding ways to support family farmers more.
But you heard what I just said.
Yeah,
finding a way to support farmers isn't to pass legislation that basically and its effect puts small farmers out of business. I mean, the people in this country want choice. If there's nothing that's been clear in the last dozen years or so, it's that people want to be able to choose. And people who think about it, the locavore movement has brought us around to going back and embracing family farms, local farms. Let's go watch the cows being milked, that sort of thing. But you have all of this collusion with these big corporations like Dean Foods that controls most of the fluid milk supply in this country, and they want to squeeze guys like me who are selling milk on the farm out of business. There's nothing that the government has done except collude with these big companies.
Well, it would definitely change a trend from the last 30 years of doing things that support industrial farms. We could change the trend, for example, around research and development, so it supports techniques that smaller scale farmers would use. We know that smaller scale farmers are much more environmentally friendly, are good, more conservationist, more likely to invest in sustainable production.
Right.
But you don't see that kind of support. I mean, most of the subsidies tend to favor the larger farms.
They do, and the guys who don't need it are the ones who get all the money.
Yep.
It's an outrage. If people really know, and now more and more people are beginning to study the system, so the good news is that they do know how corrupt the system is, the corruption of politicians and these big unbridled corporate interests. It is a disgrace, and that's the best thing you can say about it.
Sure. We're also calling for more transparency in the commodity market. There's not a lot of transparency now. There's a great deal of irresponsible speculation on the future price of food. There was some financial reform that was passed, but it does very little, and it could go much further.
Well, that's because the guys that run the commodities markets are writing big checks for the reelection campaign of Senator X and Congressman Y. You know it, and I know it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like you're, okay, how do you really get through to these people and make sure that education, the best thing you can do is what you're doing. Tell people what they need to do, but also tell them what the realities are now. I would think that would be part of your program. I don't see it here, but I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt.
Yes, and the poll that we just did, we wanted to understand how people view their food and the issues around food, and we actually found that majority of people saw the connection to oil prices, to bad government policies, to bad corporate actions, and to changing weather patterns. Those were the top reasons.
Looking at the data, we're also seeing globally people are also changing what they eat for health reasons, and that's a glimmer of hope from where I sit.
It is. Food prices definitely topped people's list of concerns. By distance, it was a greater concern than health, but health and nutrition are the motivator for a lot of people to think about where their food comes from and what's behind the production and the conditions in which it's grown.
Well, there are a lot of things to chew here. There's a website, the Oxfam website. People can go to see the breakdown, the opinion poll, the changing diets. And as Phil said, there's a glimmer of hope here, more so in America, but also around the world. But then we have the same reality. Part of the problem, and I think that's why this is also relevant, is how many people, not only in our country, but around the rest of the world, don't have enough food to eat.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Even though there are resources, although this year it's going to be tough, America, referred to often as the breadbasket through the Saskatchewan, Alberta wheat fields and our wheat fields, we've been able to be the breadbasket. Weather's so bad this year, that may change that, especially at a time when the Chinese have money. They don't have any food either. So there's a lot of pressure on the food supply. And, of course, we keep having more and more people. The world is overpopulated. Too many people can't be governed. I mean, you go around in a barrel here. But this is important information. It helps shape people's ideas. 17 different countries involved in this overview, Phil. So check it out. Oxfam America is the website, right? .org?
That's right.
Yep. All right. Thank you, Vicki.
Thank you.
Vicki Ratteau with Oxfam. So, Phil, yeah, we have a lighthearted approach to food issues here for the most part because we want food to be fun.
Mm-hmm. But it should be celebrated and wonderful.
Yeah. But in the realities that we look at here, not only in our country but elsewhere around the world, there is this continuing problem with getting enough food to people, even though we become better much more. I think we are, when we look at how much we raise, how many bushels of corn, let's say, for example, an acre. Used to be the average 140 some odd. Now it's close to 200 bushels an acre. Some of that's through technology. Some of it is not as desirable because of the kinds of compounds, chemical compounds that are being used to make the fields more productive. But, you know, all in all, we do a good job in America growing food, and we don't pollute, as some people say. I mean, there's some irresponsible, gigantic corporations that run farms, and, you know, it isn't me. I'm a capitalist, and if anything, understand what really conserving is. These people do anything in the name of man. Look at all of the things that we've had to deal with over the years, and then how government reacts or overreacts to the problems of chemicals in the waterway. The people who are the bad guys get away with it, and the people who are restricted are the farmers who are trying, you know, they spread manure because they don't want to spread chemicals, and some of it washes down, and the government wants to shut everybody down. Okay, make a mistake, go tell the guy how to do it right, and then get out of his face.
Absolutely.
All right.
I agree, and you know, when you really take a look at the crime that, you know, putting small farmers out of business and the impact that that's going to have on our food supply over the next 10, 20, 30 years, we're not doing this right.
By a long shot. All right, up next here, Charles Margulies. I wonder if any relation to the lady who's the good wife.
No.
Charles is from the Center for Environmental Health. Charles, you're in relation?
Nope, nope.
What?
He's no relation.
No, he's not.
Okay. Nope.
Thank
nope.
you. You know that.
I know that.
Margulies.
I know Charles a long time.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe, it's Margulies versus Margulies, I guess. That's probably the first. You had a connection with Charles for a long time. What's the connection?
Just that he's one of the smartest people that I know when it comes to not only the environment, but organics. And he's been working on behalf of consumers for, you know, for decades. I don't want him to sound old because he's not. But, you know, really out there getting the truth out there.
One of the things that is a real problem now, and it sounds like we're always complaining, but there are so many things that are wrong with the food supply, as there are so many things wrong in all of our lives, and we continue to roll over and play dead to the stupidity of big government and big corporations. One of the things that happened when we all embraced organic food and understood how good it was and understood the benefits all the way around, and then the big companies get a hold of it because they see how much is being purchased and how important this is to the consumer, and then they ruin it. So you have... as I understand it, the Center for Environmental Health, Charles, has a lawsuit which you've launched to get the understanding of organic back in the focus. And mostly, again, the problem with organic, especially in personal care products, is the government has come in and ruined the real meaning. They've bastardized is the right word. They've watered it down, certainly, right?
Well, that's right. I mean, what we've had in the food sector for about a decade now is an organic label that people can trust. About 10 years ago, the U.S. for the first time established national standards for organic food in terms of both production and the labeling. And those standards have been enforced pretty well, and consumers know when they look at a USDA organic label that they can trust that that food has been produced organically. Unfortunately, the USDA totally dropped the ball when it came to cosmetics and personal care products, which are now the fastest growing sector of the organic industry. So 10 years ago, folks might have walked down the cosmetics and personal care products aisle of the store and seen almost nothing labeled organic, and now that aisle is littered with products labeled as organic. Unfortunately, what we found are dozens of these products that are labeled organic, and they have fewer, in some cases, no organic ingredients at all.
Phil, as the supermarket world has changed so that we're not just finding food in the supermarket, we find all kinds of things. You can get light bulbs, you can get the pots and pans you need, you can get wine, you can get things, and one of the things that's become a big item, I wonder how much money is involved in personal care sections. Are these leased in most
huge.
Big supermarkets?
No. Yeah. This is a huge business for supermarkets, whether it's housewares. They don't lease it out the way they did years ago to a rack jobber who would put whatever they want in. They're making tons of money on whether it's shampoo or soaps and the like. And to Charles' point, what's so important is that the government is not even looking at this. And, you know, we could go into a supermarket right now and we could find, you know, personal care products that are labeled organic, and it's meaningless. And people are paying higher prices for this. And again, by having that organic label on something, we think we're doing something good for our bodies, for the environment. And at the end of the day, when we've got these kinds of situations, in my opinion, what happens is that term organic lessens its impact. We don't believe it, and it becomes meaningless.
Yeah, I mean, in some cases, we found lotions, for example. There was a lotion labeled as organic right next to a conventional lotion. The conventional lotion was selling for $3 or $4. The one labeled organic was $18, mm-hmm. and it contained almost no organic ingredients at all. In food, you wouldn't be able to get away with that. In food, the government regulators have pretty strictly enforced the rules, which require that a product labeled as organic has to contain a majority of organic ingredients. What we did is simply look at the ingredient list on the back of the package, which, of course, is in very small print as compared to the large organic label on the front.
Right.
But
boy,
if you turn the package over and look at this very small print label and closely look at the ingredients list, we saw that in many cases these products had no organic ingredients or only one or two at the very end of a long list of ingredients. In some cases, these ingredient lists contain 90 or more chemicals, including chemicals that consumers would never expect to be in organic products. Chemicals that government regulators have linked to cancer, endocrine disruption, hormone problems, a long list of health issues. In a product that's labeled organic, that's something that just shouldn't be happening.
So who are you suing?
Well, we're suing 26 different companies, including some of the largest organic products companies out there, Hain Celestial, which is one of the country's largest organic and natural foods companies, as well as Kiss My Face.
See, I'm surprised. Let me go back for a second, Charles. I'm surprised that Hain is involved in this, because that company, at least on the food side of it, and they own Celestial Seasonings, tea, and a whole bunch of great organic brands. I'm shocked to hear that Hain is part of this.
I was very surprised myself. I mean, I've had dealings with Hain on the food side for many years, and
yeah.
They've always been very up and up, but they have a brand of personal care products under the Jason brand, labeled as pure, natural, and organic.
Mm-hmm.
And we found several of these Jason products sold not only at Whole Foods stores, but at Walgreens and CVS stores, major chain drug stores.
And Charles, you're bringing up a good point. One of the things that I believe can put a stop to this is retailers like Whole Foods or CVS or anybody else having some responsibility, that if a manufacturer comes in and they say this is organic, if the retailer looks at it and it's not organic, they shouldn't put it on the shelf. Wouldn't that be a good check and balance as well?
It would be. And last year, Whole Foods actually told their personal care brands that they needed to get in line. Basically, the company said that even if USDA isn't enforcing this, we think that the personal care product sector should have the same standards as the food sector. And so they put together their own standard and warned the companies by June 1st of 2011, you need to get in line or we're going to start pulling your products. Well, unfortunately, we bought some of these products on June 15th at a Whole Foods store, and they're still on the shelves. So, you know, while an industry a voluntary process like that through the industry is always welcome, unfortunately, we've also seen that, you know, industry can be very lax, and what we really need is something that's legally enforceable, which, you know, is why we brought suit.
Well, it's time. Go ahead, Phil.
No, what I was going to say is whether it's food safety, whether it's nutrition, whether it's organic, and look, I am not there to say that the government should be regulating everything, but when it's voluntary, it doesn't work. I'm sorry.
Nope. It's got to be mandatory, and then you're looking at the same people who caused the problem, so it's like we're going around in a barrel here. But the important thing about this is that we know that the suit's going on, and we know there's a focus on organic, and we know that we ought to avoid using organic products, at least for now, because they aren't really. I'm not talking about food. We're talking about personal care products. So thank you, Charles Margulis, for giving us that info.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
If you're concerned about radiation poisoning from Japan in the air, water, or food and can't find potassium iodide, go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com and choose Liquid Zeolite. Liquid Zeolite is hands down the best product to remove radiation from your body and safely removes toxins, heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. For fatigue, muscle weakness, headaches, memory loss, influenza, joint pain, or toxic radiation poisoning, use Liquid Zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Liquid Zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 800-880-9976. Call 800-880-9976 today and learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite.
Bread and butter, food in general, the focus here on the Good Day Weekend program. Phil Lempert is here, the Supermarket Guru. You want to sign up at thesupermarketguru.com for his daily news flashes, information that's delivered right to your inbox. Sign up for it there, and you find the Supermarket Guru at dougsteffen.com. You'll see his picture in the co-host or contributors box. Click on that. Go right to his various websites, which are chock full of his experiential information. The question, he's going to be on the ABC Monday morning program, how to save money on barbecue foods, which are not necessarily good for you, but tasty. Right? Is there any such thing as healthy barbecue?
I think barbecue is a very healthy way to cook. The problem is that most people don't do it that way.
Ah,
they add too much sugar and all of that. That's more of a problem than anything else.
Yes, right. A lot of people cook that stuff. Those sausages, I think you and I talked maybe last year at this time about how to look at the labels, the barbecue labels, mm-hmm. and figure out there are, as a matter of fact, I think we did a taste test thing. There is sugar and mustard and all kinds of stuff in certain commercial really big brands of barbecue sauce. And if you look at some of the local brands, some of the regional brands, they are made with different things that are actually food, or not that sugar isn't food, but stuff that the fructose and all that other garbage that goes into some of the barbecue sauces. But there's some that have vinegar, which is very good for you. And what else do you find? How do you find the right price and the right barbecue material?
Well, first of all, you have to understand when it comes to barbecue sauces and marinades, if they have sugar, they're going to burn. Mm. And, you know, you might like that sweet taste, but that's not breaking down the myosins in meat.
Plus the fact the carcinogenic effect of anything burned. There is real cancer danger, and people who barbecue a lot need to know you make it crispy, you burn it, that man, you put that in your body, and you are just asking for it.
It's not good. It, you know, and I see people all the time, burning them, and how they can even eat that stuff. Yeah, that's what's amazing to me.
Yeah. All right, so anyway, where do we go? The supermarket, there are some regional. We're back. We talk a lot about regional and local brands versus national brands. There's a fellow who came to me at a show, and I'm trying to think of where it was. As a matter of fact, it was a radio show. He had some kind of barbecue. I can see the guy, jeans, plaid shirt, cowboy hat, almost anachronistic, if you know what I mean. What else do you expect?
That's Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, I mean, he can't fit into any jeans. This was in Texas someplace. I want to say Stevensville, but I don't, it's probably not important, except that it brings me around to underscoring, as we were talking about potato chips earlier, you can find some really good regional barbecue. Maybe we only have a minute or two left, but a quick call or two from people who want to suggest what some really good barbecue sauce is, barbecue preparation, regional barbecue flavors, sauces. 800.
I don't want to hear from anybody that has a barbecue sauce that was made in New Jersey.
No. I don't think that would
be. Or made in China. It's somewhere in the South because they know how to make barbecue sauce.
Why is that, you suppose? Why? Why do you think that is?
Because they've got no taste buds in Texas.
That's what it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good
for
you.
So we're going to get all these
listeners
in Texas.
That's a big help to us there. Thank you. 800-510-8255. By the way, welcome into WSBG listeners. For the first time, clearing and hearing Phil with us here. Phil Lemper, the supermarket guru. We talk about food every week at this time. The barbecue. All right, so let's spend a minute telling people specifically the kinds of things barbecue-wise that seem to be the best value and the best for you.
First of all, make your own marinade. Yeah. Don't, go out there and buy a marinade because most of them have high fructose corn syrup in it. And the one that I always use, you want to make one that is high in acid. And high in acid, again, to break down the myosins to make the meat tender. So that way you can buy a cheaper cut of meat, marinate it overnight in the refrigerator, and it'll be as tender as a fillet.
Why does it have to be meat? Why can't it be something? Why can't it be some veggies?
Well, because you don't have to make veggies tender. You just cook them.
No, but I mean, I'm talking about the taste. Can't you cook some veggies? We were talking about potatoes earlier. Why can't you sort of cook a potato and use really good barbecue sauce on a good big potato?
You can. You can also eat barbecue tofu. And tofu is good on the barbecue. That's about the only way that I actually can eat tofu.
Really?
Is barbecue it.
Barbecue.
Grill it. Comes out nice.
Yeah. All right. So where do we go? We go to supermarketguru.com. We're going to find a list of these good barbecue entities come Monday when you're on ABC.
Tuesday.
Tuesday.
First,
we've got
to do it on ABC, then we'll do it on Tuesday on the site.
All right. Okay. There you go. There is nothing that Phil doesn't know or won't tell you that's important about food. Check out the supermarketguru.com through DougStephan.com.